All right, welcome to the podcast. Today is May 13th, which is a Sunday. However, I'm going to be doing the recap of May 12th, Saturday, right now. And I'm going to do, I don't want to say something a little bit different, but there was some thoughts that I had yesterday that from the earlier in the week that since I haven't had the podcast episodes over the past week and I've been slacking a little bit doing the daily recordings, I just jotted down some thoughts that I wanted to kind of just really, really briefly touch on. But let me just give you the overview anyways of Saturday. So long story short is I attended the Ethereal Summit, which was hosted by Consensus. And it's a, it was, for those of you that don't know what that is, it's a blockchain event specifically focused on Ethereum. Consensus is a company that was co-founded by the that was founded by the co-founder of Ethereum, and they now have about 800 people. And once a year, I mean, I think this is the second year they're doing it. They hosted this event called the Ethereal Summit, and so, anyways, I attended that, and I was supposed to go the entire day from 10 a.m. until 6:37, and man, I was just exhausted in the morning. So I actually didn't show up until about 3:30. And so I stayed from like 3:30 to 7. And, you know, in the past, I would have been upset at myself and beat myself up about, you know, not pushing it and really, really getting there. But I mean, I've learned to be just gentler with myself and know when my body and my mind is, you know, kind of telling me something. And so I woke up in the morning, I did some work from home. I went to the gym, had a nice gym sesh. I haven't been able to get a full hour, you know, hour plus in the gym because of my schedule during the week. And so I said, hey, I'm going to treat myself to a nice long gym session. Which for me is really important. I feel really great after going to the gym. Then I came back. I read a little bit. I haven't been able to read much over the last week to 2 weeks because I've just been so focused on just meetings back to back, sales, etc., and just haven't made time for reading and things that are important to me. And then I was gonna take a couple hours and spend some time with Sasha and take a walk with her. Sasha is my girlfriend, for those of you that don't know and are just joining for the first time. And I was just so exhausted that actually I ended up taking a nap. She actually was like, hey, if you're tired, like, take a nap, you know. I did feel a little bad because I wanted to spend some time with her. I don't get to spend much time with Sasha because I'm working so much, and I've tried to make time in my schedule to spend time with her, but yesterday I was just so exhausted, so I ended up sleeping for 2 hours. I was just beat. I've just been going nonstop, but I didn't even realize I was tired because I've just been having so much fun at what I'm doing that I just go and I didn't realize how tired it was until I put my head down and just like passed out for a couple hours. So did that, and then I went to the Ethereal Summit. And then I came back home around 8 o'clock or so, and then did a bit more work. But, you know, I was there for about 4 hours, a couple takeaways that I thought were, you know, or things that I've been thinking about that, you know, thought were interesting. One is this concept of governance with blockchain protocols. So what that means is how are decisions actually made, right? How are these things? What is the governance structure on blockchain protocols, which is an issue that is going to be one that needs to be solved and is of hot debate because the idea is that these systems are decentralized, and I'm a big believer in the decentralized web and the movement of products and services to decentralized platforms. But the concept of governance and how decisions are made is going to be very important now that you don't have one main person. You know, typical structure, right, is that you have one person who, you know, it's kind of like top down. But in these structures where they're decentralized, there still needs to be a decision-making kind of governance structure. So that was one. And then it kind of led into the second kind of interesting point, which is a more interesting one that I've been thinking about, is the changing and the evolution of companies as becoming more decentralized and what that looks like for the future of work. You know, we've seen things like the freelance economy, the gig economy rising. That's continuing. We've seen companies have a decentralized workforce, right? In the sense of location does not matter, and you have people around. Even us, we are somewhat decentralized in that fashion. Half our team is in New York, half is dispersed. So the decentralization of where people are. But then you have an interesting kind of taking a next step, which is the decentralization of decision making and how that can affect things. So it's something I've been thinking about, and how, hey, maybe one day Jack will actually be a more decentralized structure with decentralized governance or you know, I don't know what it is exactly, but right now, obviously, I'm the CEO of the company. I'm also the 100% shareholder in the company. So I do, you know, I don't just, you know, autocratically, if that's the right word. I don't single-handedly just make decisions, even though, you know, I have the majority shares and I'm the CEO, right? I still am collaborative in my decision, or try to be as you know, as much as possible. And I've pushed out decision-making to the edges where things are actually happening, right? That's what I believe, where you have to have decision-making at the edges, right? Because I'm not there at every point, and I have to empower people to make decisions, you know, at those edges. That's where it's, in, you know, instead of being completely top-down. Now, the parts that are still top-down are long-term vision of the company, you know, overall high-level kind of strategy, but there's many, many, many decisions on a daily basis and that are being made by the company. So it's decentralized in that fashion, or I like to think it is. You know, as we grow, more and more strategy and decision will be made by other people instead of me. But the concept of a decentralized kind of company here is can you actually take that a step further? And what Consensus has done is actually they think of themselves as an organism. So the idea being that there is no, you know, I don't even think the founder calls himself the CEO. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But the idea that it's organism. So you have different, think of it like different circles is the way they describe it. So you have different buckets of companies, and they can all work together. And there's no, it's just not top down. It's hard to describe, but they're trying to move towards a decentralized company. Which is very interesting, where decision making is not done by a hierarchy. They try to avoid hierarchy. That said, I think it's a slow moving thing. It's not like you can just switch it on, right? I think there are still moments where they have, and I think they also had said this. You know, there's times where hierarchy still needs to be had. We can't just shift completely into the decentralized workforce, but. Or decentralized company, but I see that as the evolution. It's something I've been thinking about a lot over the last 6-12 months. Is eventually, what if companies kind of, you know, are decentralized, or it, you know, perhaps vendors and different people you have coming in, right? You can pull in this person and this person and this person and this person, spin up for a project, and then disperse, right? That's the cool part about decentralization. Now, the one thing that I haven't kind of figured out in my head is, how does that work though when, say, for building digital products, right? I believe that by having, this was the premise of starting Jacked, right? I believe that by working on more projects and building up institutional knowledge on our process and framework, there is value there, right? And so if you just had a, you know, say we just put together a team of a product person, a designer, and a developer, and said, hey, go, right? I fundamentally believe that we as a unit, if we have a product person, designer, and developer on our team, right? Because we have training, we have frameworks, we have processes, we have ways of doing things, we'll outperform just three people being put together. So that's the one part where I'm still stuck, I guess, is to being completely decentralized is there is a benefit, I think, to having you know, some sort of centralization in framework, structure, process, innovation, thinking, where if you just have people coming together, right, it's more efficient, like from a speed standpoint. Like if you have our team and they work together again and again, and then they're building their process and fixing it, we'll outperform other people, I think. That's, you know, why you would hire us, right? So, but that doesn't mean I want to keep it like that, right? I'm thinking to myself, I'm not married to anything. If our business model and our way of thing, you know, doing things can be disrupted by decentralized, you know, thinking and protocols, you know, I'm thinking always of ways to disrupt ourselves. Like what's the next step, right? Before someone does it to us, let me do it to myself. But that's one thing that I haven't grasped on how, I like the idea of it being decentralized in the sense that we can spin up people very quickly. And the idea that governance and or decentralized decision making is something that we could build in. But I still haven't figured out how to get around the idea that by working more, there is some centralized knowledge and institutional knowledge that is there. Well, hey, maybe actually, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, maybe I just release all that. You know, we keep it. Oh, actually, all right, this is an interesting one. There could be a mix. So just like in the open source community for development. So my background, for those of you that don't know, I'm a self-taught developer. And for the first couple of years, Jack was coding every single day. So a common thing in development community is open source technology. And the idea is that people can just contribute to it, right? And this is actually a big premise behind these decentralized protocols, is that they require developers to contribute to them, but they get rewarded for contributing to them more. So actually, what if we just released and open sourced our process, and then actually people could contribute to it, and then they would get rewarded for improving the process, and then there would be a process that then anyone can use. And then perhaps there's training on it. So, wow, this is all, these are kind of therapeutic, these sessions. That's essentially what Consensus is also doing, right? They have Ethereum, co-founder of Ethereum. It's out there. And then there's developers and people evolving that, but then they set up Consensus to be the consulting. You know, they do a couple things, but one thing is consult on and advise on how to use Ethereum. So what if Jack actually became the actual consulting arm, right? But we actually open sourced our process, or actually perhaps in a sense tokenized it, made it such that people could contribute and get rewarded for improving the process. And then we are actually just, you could either hire our arm just like Consensus, or we advise on how to, you know, we offer training materials, you know, on how to use the process, you know, teaching and stuff. Wow, actually, this is really cool. I haven't thought about it like this exactly. Thank you for listening along with my stream of consciousness. This is oftentimes how I work. You're actually seeing it live, where I kind of go from one thing to another. But that could actually be what we do. I'm going to sit and marinate on it. That's very interesting. I haven't been able to crack it, but just talking through it, maybe that's what it is. And then taking it a step further, we could also tokenize Jack, right? Like the idea, so you could tokenize the process, you know, and as people contribute, they get rewarded, right, for it. But then you also have Jack. We could actually turn that into a security token. The idea being that instead of having shares where I'm the major shareholder, there's security tokens, and you can buy and sell and trade, you know, and own a piece of Jacked, essentially. That's the other thing I'm thinking about doing with Jacked that I haven't actually told anyone until, you know, I'm telling now. It's like, what if I actually had a security token for Jacked and then made it such that other people could own instead of me? I think that's a big trend, or a big thing that's going to happen, is you're going to see the securitization of assets. We've seen it in early days with some things like real estate, but I think companies, and we're already starting to see it, but like not really a mass adoption. You're going to see companies being tokenized, specifically with security tokens. And I think that's another thing that Jack could do. But this is good. This is I'm going to move on from this, but this is an interesting model, because I've also thought about, just on a final little note here, I've really been thinking about how do I move faster to improve our process, and how do we include more people? And it's like, well, what if we actually not only open sourced it, right? Open sourcing is one thing. Maybe we start there. But open sourcing, but also then let people contribute. And then if we use the process for every project that the project process is used, people get rewarded for it, perhaps. You either get rewarded for it, or the value of the token in this process goes up. I need to think through exactly how that would work. I need some help thinking through this. I'm gonna throw this out to the team and see what they think. But anyways, that's, you know, that was a fun little thing here. Now moving on to a different one. Let me talk about some of my other thoughts that I wanted to cover. You know, lastly, last night, the other thing I was doing is I've been mentioning how, we're going to be spinning off a recruiting arm. And I think that could also be kind of in this organism kind of thing as a separate kind of entity. We'll have to see, but right now it's going to be, you know, this recruiting arm. Anyways, let me get to the point here. I'm going all over the place. Is I was building out the financial model, or rather reviewing the financial model that NADA had created. I was playing around with it, seeing where, you know, I'm going to probably set aside, or I'm willing to invest about $50,000 into this thing. I was seeing how many placements we would have to make to break even, or rather to recover that $50,000. And based on the model, we need about 16 placements. And then we need about to double the money. Within 12 months, we need about 30 placements. So that was good just to get clarity on that. So then, all right, now to the actual other thoughts that I want to talk about. Okay, so one thing, switching gears, is sales calls and how they inform my view on things. So where to start? So I get from reading, from sales calls, from just talking to people, I get ideas, and it molds, helps shape my thinking a bit, or I get insights into kind of the direction of the company, or, you know, how soon things should happen. So for example, a couple years ago, I mean, hell, actually like 3-4 years ago, I was interested in AR and VR. So we started doing some investments early, and I was like, hey, we're way too early for this, but I want to start learning about it. Right, so we did some proof of concept work, etc. But it was too early for production use, at least for our customers. So the way emerging technology typically works for our customer base is this: emerging technology comes out, people are playing with it, experimenting with it. People get excited, then it dips, and people aren't excited. Then people start getting excited again more, and then we start getting requests from people. Right, so it's like that cycle. It just happens every time. That I've seen. So, and I know this happens. So that's why, for example, we're investing in blockchain now, because I think in a couple of years, people are actually going to, you know, we're already starting to get requests, but I think we're going to get heavy requests 2-3 years from now. So we're investing right now in content to become a thought leader, in actually building proof of concepts. You know, I'm going to events, etc. But another one that we're interested in is augmented reality. And so started making investments, built a game last year, an augmented reality game with ARKit, which is Apple's augmented reality engine, let's call it. And I just kept a pulse on it. And over the past month or so, started getting more requests, you know, a handful of them. And I'm like, this is interesting. So, and also, I will also say, before startups or smaller businesses come to use this emerging technology, it's really the larger companies that start experimenting with it. And then it goes down, you know, it's either the early stage startups who are just trying to like really experiment, and But typically with startups, it's not great to use super emerging technologies if you're trying to build, depending on the type of business you're trying to build, but more, let's call it standard businesses, not really, because you need, when you're using technology, you need people to actually use the product that you're building. So right now it still makes more sense to have a web app, potentially a mobile app, but using technology that can have bigger adoption versus, for example, building a voice app right now, the adoption isn't massive. So you'll need to wait for the market to come to you. So you need a lot of money and runway to do that. So, but who can spend money on some of this experimentation, right, is people who have R&D teams. So large companies who want to do some R&D efforts in it, right, can actually do it. And that's not to say, let me just be clear, it's not to say startups. That's actually where a lot of the innovation comes from, right, is startups experimenting with these things, right? But before large businesses are built and before it's common for it to be a platform that, you know, is seriously considered as a first choice platform for startups, right? Right now, when people come to us, we're still thinking about, you know, mobile and web platforms initially, and we're slowly starting to integrate bigger experiences, but just the mass adoption isn't there. But larger companies are now coming to us, some enterprise customers, and saying, hey, can you build some AR experiences for us, right? So people who are large enterprises doing R&D or experiential marketing, that's always been a great one, right? People are doing marketing efforts to kind of demo the technology. So large companies with experiential marketing is where we get to do some work, and then large enterprises. So anyways, it's a combination of two, but I'm starting to get requests from people. And then also from some smaller companies now too. So starting to get a little bit more requests, and usually that's a signal to me like, hey, this is, you know, maybe it's starting to move a bit. So I think augmented reality, just based on, you know, I literally use sales inquiries and data that I have, conversations I have to kind of navigate. I think over the next year to 2 years, we'll actually start doing a bit more. You know, I thought it was actually 2 to 4 years. I think now I'm thinking over the next year to two. But we'll see. But we have a few requests and inquiries in, so we may be doing things sooner rather than later. I also think that's the case with voice. I think voice is in a couple years where we're at. Blockchain, couple of things. So, but we're getting prepared. We're doing demos, etc. But we're starting to get requests in all these things, which is interesting. So VR, though, I think is still way away. I think the hardware constraints. Constrictions, you know, people have to buy this piece of hardware until that's decreased significantly or solved. That's not going to be adopted by the mainstream. Perhaps in unique situations, training or certain things, there's still a use case, but for mass adoption, no. Augmented reality, I think, is sooner, and so is voice. And when that happens, then you'll really start seeing companies building, and their first product will be an AR product. Their first product will be a voice product, right? So it's interesting. You need people building on top to experiment and grow the ecosystem, but a lot of those people are going to die because that's just the way it works, right? Because you can't get the adoption you need, they're going to die, and then the wave of other companies are going to come through, and that's just the way it works in general. It's going to happen with blockchain, it happens with mobile apps, it happens with, right, social networks, like, right, think about Facebook, anything, right? Things came up, and then one, you know, then a bigger one came up. They weren't the first. Right. So anyways, that was another little thought. I'm really going on tangents today. Thanks for bearing with me. You know, the last thing or one other thing I wanted to talk about is that I just had a note to myself that I want to add. You know, we do business consulting, and this is where a big strong suit of mine, and when I started the company, was business consulting. I want to grow that arm. I think I might even grow a whole division of business consulting. That's eventually, you know, I want to marry business consulting plus technology innovation into a company. Like, that's really where this is going for me. Just, you know, a reminder to myself, hey, let's build out more business consulting, bring in more business consultants perhaps. But I don't like that word, business consultants, because you think of the traditional kind of consulting. I want people with real experience, hands-on experience, really building companies, businesses, more like entrepreneurs in residence, those type of people. But anyways, that's a whole different thing. But I do want to also, the other last note, I'm kind of jumping around here, but you're really getting the way my mind works, is my goal is eventually also with the company, I want everything quantifiable. Every little point, right? So with the AR thing and the VR and these things, these are, I'm navigating by kind of what I'm seeing and my gut and my feeling and data in a sense, but not really quantifiable data. I want it to be a competitive advantage for me to actually have everything quantified so that when I get these gut, like, oh, I think this is what I'm seeing. Do I have the data to back it up? Do I have the data to show that I've actually gotten 10 requests in AR versus 5 last year, right? Stuff like that. I want everything quantifiable. That goes for sales, for culture, for, you know, recruiting, for everything in the company. I just believe, I don't think data should be the only thing, right? It's a mix of, and this is just my philosophy in general, it's a mix of quant plus qual. Quantitative and qualitative, right? There has to be a mix of the two. I think where you fuse the two is where you get some really special stuff. So that's a goal of mine over time is to, and we're starting to do this more and more, slowly quantifying things in the company, but I want to do it across the board, you know, as much as possible. So that's just another little tidbit. And then, you know, the last thing actually I'm going to bring up is also last night I was doing a little mind map trying to just gather my thoughts on how I could see the company, you know, evolving and having these different divisions. And I found actually a chart that I had created in 2015 in the same program. It's called MindMeister, if you're wondering. It's a good little mind map tool. And it was called Ideas for Growth. And it has a lot of the things that I've been thinking about and have thought about for years. And actually, what's cool is I forgot I even had this chart. There's some ideas for growth that we've started to actually do. So, you know, for example, one thing I had is I want to really push on content marketing. And then I also had a question here. Do we get someone dedicated this full time? And both of those things have happened, right? And so anyways, yeah, I'm just going to walk you through really quickly the way I see things. You know, I just did this quick mind map, and I basically had Jack at the center. And I would see almost Jack as like, you know, when you come in, we're going to advise you on the different components that you could use at Jack. So, for example, we have digital, which is, let's say, our current offering, which we currently do a lot of web and mobile work. And there's also some business strategy in there. I actually forgot the business strategy. And then we have the innovation arm, which we also currently have. We're doing innovation and R&D and blockchain and AR and voice. I also have listed here VR, IoT. There's also some future things, energy, genetics, etc. Then I also have a whole marketing arm, which there's a lot of things here. Then I had business advisory. We have hiring. We have back office as a service, conferences, courses, which is really that teaching arm. Well, actually, we should have courses, which is actually, I think there's, this is interesting. I'm going to actually change this right now live. It's going to say education, which will have courses and then also training. There we go. So you have courses and then you have training. Live doing stuff right now. Ventures, and then a service-based business advisory. There's all these different components that I want to build out that can spin out of Jacked. And this was, you know, something I've been working on for a while, is Jacked is going to be the thing that then lets me spit out all these different things. But the idea is all of these things can also work together. So, for example, we're working on launching the recruiting business, right? We will personally use that recruiting business, as will others. Same with the marketing arm, right? Where we have this marketing arm that we're building out. We are using it for Jack, but then we are also going to offer it to others, right? So the idea is anything we do is both for internal use and external use. So same with our digital product development and design services, right? The idea being that we can build our, you know, products for customers, but also at some point, you know, building our own products building products and taking some equity in things. People ask us a lot for that, but we're not really doing that right now. Maybe in the future. Then you have other things like back office as a service. Like, we're building out a lot of back office and infrastructure. And I want to abstract that and then offer to other people. And you know what's interesting is at the conference yesterday when I was there, the CEO or the founder rather of Consensus was also talking about how they're building out all these components and then going to essentially, I think, offer them. They're kind of doing what I want to do and what I've been talking about doing. They have just way more resources, but this is an idea I've had for, you know, a while now, and I'm sure they have too, but I've never heard them talk about it like that. So it was interesting that, you know, they see this as an opportunity as well. But I see it as an opportunity to take different, twofold, take different components of our business that are working, that we know are needed for us, perfect them, not even perfect them, just abstract them into a service and then offer them externally, make money, which then allows us to essentially fund, you know, having that service for ourselves, but also generate a new stream of revenue and business. So that's what we're doing with recruiting. There's a whole mind map here. I don't want to go through the whole thing of like different businesses and units that I want to launch, but they're not, the key component is that they're not like off in left field. They're, you know, my theory is that they, it gets stronger by being related, right, to it. So they can either operate independently, like you could hire us just to do some recruiting work for you, or you could hire us and we could do recruiting plus, you know, digital product, right? And so when someone comes to us, we can actually advise them and be like, hey, you actually don't need our agency. You actually need our recruiting arm, or maybe you need both, right? And they all feed each other, right? It's this organism. Now I'm using that word, organism, that feeds each other. So so anyways, I'll leave you with that. I just realized we're at like 30 minutes. I'm going to stop talking here, but yeah, that's where things are going. I have a bigger kind of picture plan where we launch a bunch of different divisions and units, and they're all interrelated and mixed. And so yeah, anyways, more to come in the future. And I got to get running and working for the day. So I'll see you guys tomorrow.